street is apples, oranges, nuts and sweets. Christkindly sat harmoniously, all dressed in white this Christmas day.
Now, said Santa, if we tip the magic sleigh this way, we can look over the mountain into Austria.
Listen. Everyone knows that song. Let's sing it in the language each of us knows best.
Silent night, holy night, moon is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace.
The children had barely finished singing when the wondrous magic sleigh whisked them to a land, Norway. What do you see? Asked Santa. Just a boy. Look, he's tying bits of food to that snow-covered tree.
So he is. Are you beginning to understand?
He's Santa, too. For on Christmas, he gives presents to all the birds and animals.
To the turtle and the dog, to the fox and the frog, to the horse and the calf and the lion, to the fish and the goose, to the tiger and the moose, to the duck and the deer, any animal that's here. We wish you all a merry Christmas, wish you all a happy day. To the turtle and the dog, to the fox and the frog, to the horse and the calf and the lion, to the fish and the goose, to the tiger and the moose, to the duck and the deer, any animal that's here. We wish you all a merry Christmas, wish you all a happy day.
Now you know that Santa is everywhere.
In England he is Father Christmas, Papa Noel in Brazil. It matters not what name you give him, he's the spirit of goodwill. You come then, old Saint Nick, free his ringle, take your pick. In England he is Father Christmas, Papa Noel in Brazil. It matters not what name you give him, he's the spirit of goodwill. Merry, 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 merry Christmas
all. You're listening to Manitoba Moon, coming to you from CKW 95.9 FM Winnipeg. I'm not here. It's just music. On roll.
How are you?
Yes.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you all.
The name of the book I'm going to read is The Night Before Christmas. Was the night before Christmas. Was stirring when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a two dogs and a cat. That's good. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had went out on the lawn. There arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing, and away to the window I flew like a flash, to tore open the shutters and threw up on the breast of the new fallen snow. That's what happens when you're the president. So here he is looking out the window, right? Great big trees with snow all over them. Is it real snow on the trees, do you think?
No.
So up to the housetop, St. Nicholas came with ashes and soot, and St. Nicholas, too. He went up to the top of the roof. A right jolly old elf came with a mouse. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's very good. And Mama in her stockings, a side of his nose, and he whistled and shouted and threw up on Donder and Blitzen. That's good. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. He was chubby and plump, a reindeer.
Reindeer.
Or mouse. The coursers, they flew, then turned with a jerk, and the beard on his chin went straight to his work. What color was his nose? With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be a mouse. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head, with a sleigh full of toys, I had nothing to dread. Yes, sir, you got a question or something you want to say?
Does everybody read at home a little bit every day?
Yes, ma'am, I can't wait to practice reading. Are you ready? Okay. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, happy stockings to all. And to all, ashes and soot. The end. Now,
before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Now, Dasher, now, Dancer, now, Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now, dash away, dash away, dash away all!
As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, When they meet an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too.
Whoa!
And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. And the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. Stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. Finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle.
Giddy up!
And away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight.
Happy Christmas to all!
And to all, a good night.
Santa's helper number 7, dream me up in the great toy heaven. Santa's helper number 6, taught me laughter and some tricks. Santa's helper number 5, said the time will soon arrive when number 4 checks the early score. And who wants a clown for Christmas? I'm just a cloony old clown in a funny nightgown, but my heart's nearly broken in two. Where's the girl or boy? Wants an old-fashioned toy. If they don't, what will I do? Santa Claus brought me down from his North Pole town, especially for who? Santa's given me a wink, so there must be one, I think, who wants a cloony clown for Christmas. Santa's helper number 3 made my face funny, funny. Santa's helper number 2 filled my heart with love in view. Santa's helper number 1 sewed me up and I was done. Then Santa's wife gave me a kiss to give someone for Christmas. I'm just a cloony old clown in a funny nightgown, but my heart's nearly broken in two. Where's the girl or boy? Wants an old-fashioned toy. If they don't, what will I do? Santa Claus brought me down from his North Pole town, especially for who? Santa's given me a wink, so there must be one, I think, who wants a cloony clown for Christmas. Who wants a cloony clown? Just a simple soda clown with no motor to run down, no electrifying frown, no replacement parts in town, no directions upside down, my daddy's temper turning brown. Oh, just a face that's appliqued with a thread of joy I made. That's me, the clown in the funny nightgown. The clown in the funny nightgown. Gee, I sure hope somebody wants me for Christmas. My face is all painted up and it looks so pretty. And my funny little hat and my funny little nightgown with all the different directions on it and writings on it and funny pictures all over the place. Gee, I sure hope somebody will pick me up because I love everybody and I sure hope they like me. My goodness gracious, won't somebody want, who wants a clean...
If Santa were my lover. If Santa were my lover in the calm, cool of a crisp wintry night. By fire, on fire to keep each other warm. Like no other man, my Santa, like no other woman, I, like no other couple ever together. And in his arms would I feel only joy. Jolly joy, jolly joy, jolly joy, jolly joy, jolly joy. Jolly joy. And into the night we would tussle and fight till my fingers got caught in his beard snowy white and he'd pull me in tight and he'd say, which have you been, my dear, naughty or nice? Oh, nice, Santa. Oh, so nice, I'd say, as I'd brush back his eyebrows and kiss gently his lips. Naughty, Santa. Oh, so naughty, I'd say, as I'd remove his boots and undo his big black belt. And Santa be oh so gentle with my breasts in his big hairy hands. And as for my hands on his belly, that would shake when we loved like a bowl full of jelly. If Santa...
It is the day before Christmas in Washington, D.C., where final preparations are underway for the tree-lighting ceremony on the White House lawn. We join newscaster Jimmy Olsen as he moves through the crowd outside the fence.
Hi, everybody. What a day this is. There's an excitement in the air like you wouldn't believe. Never saw so many happy faces. The holiday spirit is so strong you can almost feel it. Excuse me, sir. I'm Jimmy Olsen, WGBS-TV. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
How do you like Washington?
Great.
What do you think of that tree up there?
Fantastic. I'm from Oregon, and I know something about trees, and I tell you, that's got to be the biggest Christmas tree ever. Make a great show when the lights go on.
Thank you, sir. And you, ma'am, what do you think of all this?
Beautiful, just beautiful. I can hardly wait until tonight. It will be almost as beautiful as stars over my home state of Alabama.
Thank you, ma'am. And you, sir, have you ever been to one of these?
And while Jimmy Olsen continues his interviews, we switch to the WGBS studios in Metropolis, where Lois Lane and Clark Kent are watching a studio monitor.
Isn't he doing a great job, Clark? And on his first big assignment...
Sure is, and so is the cameraman, getting some great close-ups. Matter of fact, I thought I saw someone I...
Oh, look, that young couple and their little daughter. Listen.
And you say you're from Ohio, right? First time in Washington.
And it's also wonderful. When are they going to turn on the lights, Daddy?
Right after dark, Amy. And it'll be the biggest, brightest, most beautiful Christmas tree you ever saw. It'll light up the whole lawn.
Will it light up the whole world, Daddy? Light up the whole world?
Clark, isn't she adorable?
Light up the whole world!
Clark, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing. Just a little headache. It'll go away. Think I'll just go out for a little air, walk down by the river.
But something was wrong, and the Man of Steel felt a deep uneasiness grip his whole being. That face I saw in the crowd during Jimmy's interviews and what the little girl said light up the whole world. Somehow they go together like parts of a puzzle, but I can't seem to make them fit. If only I could remember. And as he walks along, racking his brain for answers that don't come, he sees the UN building ahead and decides to go in and listen to the debate in the Security Council in an overtime session.
And in conclusion, I wish to place my government irrevocably on record in favor of this giant step forward on the road to peace. Thank you.
It is my great privilege and honor as chairman to announce that the Security Council of the United Nations has this day voted unanimously in favor of the resolution banning the use of all nuclear weapons. I wish to thank the delegates for their devotion to duty and their self-sacrifice in giving up so much of their holiday time so that this legislation could be completed.
That is good news, and it's about time. Banning nuclear weapons is the best. Nuclear weapons, that's it. That face in the crowd. It was Thurston Kilgore, the great nuclear physicist. The last time I saw him was, yeah, a Senate committee hearing 8 years ago.
Let me see if I understand you correctly, Dr. Kilgore. You say we now have nuclear superiority enough to deter...
Not just superiority, Senator, and not just a deterrent. We have the capacity to destroy our enemies at one stroke, right now, today.
You mean...
I mean we should launch our nuclear missiles immediately.
Without warning of any kind?
Without warning, without delay, without mercy. Wipe them all out.
You would destroy over 600 million human beings, men, women, children, just like that?
Just like that. It will be the greatest display of man-made firepower in the history of the universe.
He's mad!
America will be the master of the world for 1,000 years.
That will be all, Dr. Kilgore.
No one will dare oppose us. No one.
Remove that man.
We will remake every government in the world in our image.
Our nation is at war.
And they can oppose us.
Against the ongoing threat.
Of our time had obviously lost his mind and had to be confined in a mental institution. Diagnosed a hopeless case.
And all nations should know
case.
America will
Running
do what is necessary.
On the streets of Washington. Great Krypton. I've got to get down there right now. This is a job for Superman.
As the mightiest man in the world races through the darkening sky, little does he realize how justified his fears are. At that very moment, in his secret laboratory not far from the White House, Thurston Kilgore is talking.
Ah, you're awake, my young friend. Good. Soon you will have the privilege of being part of the greatest Christmas happening in 2,000 years.
Our nation is at war.
Oh, all right. I'll remove the gag. But it's no use trying to call for help. No one can hear you. Hold still a minute. Ah, There you are.
I don't understand. Who are you? And what's the big happening you're talking about? And why are you holding me in this place?
We'll win this war.
I am Thurston Kilgore, scientist. But soon I shall be Thurston Kilgore, master of the world.
Master of the world?
Our war on terror has well begun.
Kidding? Not at all. You see these television screens? I'll turn on number one. What do you see?
The White House, the Christmas tree on the lawn.
And here's number two. Now, what do you see?
I'm not sure. Looks like, yeah, a missile at a rocket site.
Very good. That rocket, by the way, is ready for immediate launching and carries a payload
of 5 nuclear warheads. It costs a lot to fight this war.
Each 100 times as powerful as the Hiroshima bomb.
But what has this got to do with...
Patience, young man. Patience. And now, screen number three.
Another rocket.
And four. And five.
But it has only begun.
And six. There you are. The whole picture.
5 multiple head rockets.
All tied to the controls in the war room of the Pentagon and targeted on our enemies.
We'll prevail in the war.
The only person authorized to push the button is...
Yes?
The President of the United States.
Precisely.
But we're not at war, and he's not about to push that button.
Like ticking time bombs.
Not that button, and not knowingly. But there are buttons and buttons.
I still don't...
Like the button that will turn on the lights on that beautiful Christmas tree.
On the White House lawn?
Right.
With weapons of mass destruction.
That button is tied into the rocket launch system you just showed me?
Now you're getting it. It's tied in by a remote control circuit I secretly installed.
And when the president pushes the button that lights the tree... Good Lord!
For a brief moment, the lights will go on. And then a bomb concealed in one of the tree ornaments will detonate, destroying everyone in the immediate area. Especially the president. And
simultaneously, you win
this war. 5 beautiful rockets will soar like avenging angels through the night sky. And
our
when
nation
they reach their
war.
Targets, they will light up the whole world.
But what have I got to do with all this? Why hold me?
Because you, my young friend, are the bait in a trap I have set to capture and eliminate once and for all the only man who could possibly interfere with my plan, Superman.
Isn't this exciting? What time will they turn on the lights, Harry?
Gee, I don't know. Should be any time now.
Will we be able to see the president from here?
I think so. We got here early enough to pick a good spot. Hey, mister, watch where you're going. Oh, my gosh, it's Superman.
I'm sorry, sir. I was looking for a young newscaster, Jimmy Olsen. He was interviewing people right around here a little while ago. Have you seen him?
Oh, sure. He interviewed us.
Did you see where he went?
Last we saw, I went over to that van over there.
Oh, the WGBS mobile unit. Thanks. Nobody here. What's this on the seat? A note addressed to me. If you want to see Jimmy Olsen alive, come to the top floor of the warehouse at the end of L Street. Signed TK. TK.
Thurston Kilgore, so I was right. He was the one I saw on TV.
And at that moment, a cheer goes up from the crowd.
Hey, look, it's the president!
I know there's something wrong here, something involving the president, but I don't know what it is, and I have to go see Jimmy. Well, this is the warehouse, but I don't...
Come in, Superman. The door is open.
Kilgore.
Welcome, Superman.
Where's... Oh, Jimmy, there you are. Are you all right?
So far, but you've got to stop him, Superman. He's going to...
Don't worry. I'll take care of him.
You'll take care of nothing, Superman. You're through.
Superman, what's wrong?
I feel weak, dizzy.
And soon you will feel nothing. This machine duplicates the deadly rays of green kryptonite, the only substance that can destroy the mighty Superman. And so I leave you both. In a few minutes, you, Superman, will be dead. And my crypto-ray machine will self-destruct, wiping out all evidence of my connection with this place, including you, little Jimmy.
If only I could get loose.
Ta-ta, both of you. I'm off in my armored car to watch the president light up the world.
Oh,
And just today, the day before Christmas, the United Nations Security Council, in extraordinary session, voted unanimously to ban all nuclear weapons. On this glorious night before Christmas, therefore, there is more hope than ever that peace on Earth and goodwill to all mankind can become a reality.
Come on, get on with it. Get on with it. Light up the tree, Mr. President.
And so with great joy in my heart, I press the button that will light up this beautiful symbol of brotherhood and love.
And just as his finger touches the button, the figure of the mightiest man on Earth swoops down out of the sky. One of the ornaments off the tree and hurls it high into the night sky, where it explodes harmlessly with a roar. Now the president is safe at least, but I was too late to prevent the rockets from being fired. Got to stop them somehow. And then occurred one of the most incredible events in the history of the world. Crisscrossing the skies at unbelievable speed, a man of steel flies to each of the five rockets in rapid succession, changes their course in mid-flight, and heads them on a collision course with the sun, where their death-dealing potential will be fused with the life-giving energy of Earth's great star. Later, back at the WGBS studios in Metropolis.
What an incredible story, Jimmy.
By sheer luck, my chair fell over as I struggled to break the ropes I was tied up with. And I fell against Kilgore's crypto ray machine, knocking it over and putting it out of action.
With the rays stopped, of course, Superman's strength returned.
And since Kilgore had shown me where the bomb on the Christmas tree and all the rockets were located, I told Superman, and you know the rest.
What happened to Kilgore?
In a way, I feel kind of sorry for him. The failure of his plan was too much for his twisted mind, and the police picked him up, babbling like a baby on the White House lawn.
Clark Kent, where in the world have you been?
Well, I hate to admit it, but I was tired and went up to my room for a nap. What did I miss?
I go on the air at midnight. Listen, and you'll find out.
You're on, Miss Lane.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Lois Lane with the latest WGBS inside story of how Superman saved the life of the president and prevented World War III in what will probably go down as one of the greatest Christmas events.
Here is a news bulletin. Santa Claus has been kidnapped by spacemen from a flying saucer, which landed at the North Pole.
Be on the lookout for Santa Claus, last seen wearing
black slacks. Black slacks.
We take you now to the White House for an interview with the President. Mr. President, Mr. President.
Keep a knocking, but you can't come in.
Mr. President, have you a word on the Santa Claus kidnapping? We have just received a report from the FBI. Santa has been taken to a satellite circling the Earth. We take you now to the satellite.
This is John Cameron Cameron, downtown Sputnik. We're here in the Sputnik jail with Santa Claus. Wait, what's that sound? The satellite men are coming this way. I think the king of Sputnik is about to speak.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Santa, have you anything to say to the satellite men?
Come on and do the jailhouse rock, it'll be
Santa! 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 I know how you can escape. Disguised as Elvis Presley. Uh-oh, looks like we've been spotted. We return you now to Earth.
We are now at the North Pole, where a rocket is being launched to catch the satellite and rescue Santa.
Control tower to rocket. Prepare to blast off.
Oh, let's go!
Will the rocket be successful? Will Santa be rescued? Turn the record over and find out. The rocket sent to rescue Santa Claus has failed. With sadness, the president speaks.
Holy mackerel!
The Secretary of State has this statement.
My goose has scooped our reputation, he shot.
In London, at a meeting of Parliament.
Your Majesty, have you a statement to make on this terrible tragedy?
Goodness gracious!
We take you now to Moscow.
We're here with the Premier of Russia. Comrade, the rocket has failed. What do we do now?
Come back tomorrow night and try it again.
Here is a report from Tokyo.
This is Radio Tokyo. The imperial government has this message.
Ooh, la, la.
Meanwhile, back on the satellite.
Oh, 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 oh.
This is John Cameron, Cameron, downtown Sputnik. The satellite men are closing in. We can hear them outside saying,
let me in or else I'll beat down your door.
Santa has just escaped through the chimney, disguised as Elvis. We return you now to Earth.
If you should look up at the sky this Christmas Eve and see a flying saucer pulling eight reindeer, chances are it's Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas, Earth people.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM wishing you the happiest of holidays.
At the headquarters of the Air Defense Command, the watchguard of the United States security against enemy attack, a strange radio message has been intercepted. Unable to decipher the highly sophisticated code, experts have forwarded the message to the Office of Scientific Intelligence in Washington.
Steve, I'm glad you could make it.
No problem, Oscar. I'm staying in town for the holidays.
Steve, the Air Defense Command in Colorado Springs picked up an unusual radio message the other day on a restricted frequency.
No identification codes?
That's part of the problem. All messages received over the defense network are preceded by an identification code, and they are followed by a second ident code before signing off.
And this communication has no code on either side.
They can't even decode the message.
What are we going to do?
It defies analysis, Steve. As a matter of fact, nothing on record as language or numeric code is anything like it. I've called in Dr. Landis.
Ethel Landis?
She's the top expert in the field of coded communication.
And she has a lot of kooky ideas, Oscar.
I know, Steve, but we can't afford to overlook any possibilities.
Dr. Landis is here, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. Please send her right in. She's here, Steve.
Hello, Oscar. It's been a long time. And Colonel Steve Austin, what a pleasant surprise. You're really calling out the troops, Oscar.
Yes, well, have you gone over the information I sent you?
Yes.
And have you reached any conclusions?
Yes, I have, but...
Well, don't keep us in suspense, Dr. Landis.
Please, Steve, call me Ethel. Oscar, this may seem far-fetched, but my observations are based on carefully computed data.
Well?
Do you know what a supernova is?
Exploding star.
That's correct, Steve. In this case, we're talking about the sun of a solar system similar to ours.
I don't see...
It's really very simple. Approximately 2,000 years ago, a large star appeared in the sky over the Middle East. Many scientists believe it was a supernova.
What does this have to do with the radio messages?
You won't believe this.
Try me.
Okay. I believe the messages are the final words to come from that solar system before their sun exploded.
If that's true...
Millions of people believe that was the guiding light to Bethlehem.
It was. And that is why it is imperative to decipher the message.
You haven't done that?
I can't. The radioactivity in our atmosphere is cutting down the reception. The only way to get the entire communique is to send someone up into space above the radiation belt.
Looks like I've been elected.
2 days later at Cape Canaveral, Colonel Austin and Dr. Landis are in the forward stage of a Titan rocket awaiting takeoff.
I didn't realize you were going to join me, Doctor.
Someone who is familiar with intergalactic communications had to go.
Do you really think that this may be some sort of Christmas greeting?
It's the only thing that makes sense.
15 seconds, Steve.
All systems show green for go. Fuel positive, safety breakers on, escape mode is armed. Roger, Houston. Rolling to 45 degrees port. Speed to 1200.
I'm starting to receive the message, Steve.
I'll turn on the recorders.
Steve, we show a trouble light down here.
My panel is clear, Oscar.
Everything seems fine.
Check your guidance system. Left end gyros.
Still negative, Oscar.
We show trouble indicators. Voyager 1, come in.
trouble status on forward guidance system. Vessel is out of control. We have been struck by space debris. Outer hull is shattered. I can't hold course.
Voyager 1, this is Houston. Do you read? I repeat, Voyager 1, this is Houston. Do you copy? Steve, Dr. Landis, please answer.
Houston, this is Voyager 1. Do you read? Oscar, come in, please. Come in.
It's no use, Steve. The radio's dead. What happens now?
We drift.
For how long?
Until the end.
There's nothing to be done, even with your bionics?
I'm afraid we're helpless.
I thought the radio was dead.
It is. I don't know what we're receiving.
It's coming directly through. It must be the alien message.
Then you must be right. It did originate out here.
Let's see if the recording equipment is still working. It still works.
Let's get it on.
The entire cycle takes about 25 minutes.
At least we got what we came for. Now if we could only get home.
I have the entire message recorded, Steve. I wish I could get back to my lab to decode it.
Ethel, do you think the gyros blew out because of a power overload when we were struck?
That would seem to be the only likely explanation.
Which means that a boost of high voltage energy into the power system should start the emergency power.
It might, Colonel. What are you suggesting?
My bionic power source linked to the ship system might give us enough power to ignite the guidance relays and resume radio contact. Then they could bring us down from the ground.
But what will that do to you, Colonel?
That's a chance I'll have to take.
Colonel Austin, Steve, are you all right? Steve, answer me.
Voyager 1, do you read? I repeat, Voyager 1, come in.
This is Voyager 1. Colonel Austin is seriously injured. Please bring us home.
With radio communication reestablished, ground control brings the Voyager 1 safely back to Earth. Steve Austin is sent to the special OSI facility for vital treatment on his bionic system.
Hey, buddy. Merry Christmas, and welcome back to Earth.
It's good to be back.
That was a smart idea, plugging yourself into the ship's electrical system.
It was a miracle.
That's not the only miracle, Steve.
What did you find, Ethel?
It's very exciting. I've decoded the message.
What does it say?
First, let me say that I think it is from a solar system that no longer exists. It might have been a warning sent out by the inhabitants of the system when they realized their sun was going to explode.
You mean the supernova?
That's right, Oscar.
What was the message?
As close as I can interpret, it says, prepare for a new day.
That's all?
Yes. But what is really ironic is that the message is just reaching us now.
What do you mean?
My original theory was right. The supernova occurred exactly 2,011 years ago, on the first Christmas Eve.
Who is talking about miracles?
Has a rocket sleigh getting ready to zoom away on his first trip into space. In his pressurized suit with the fur along the border and long white bearded helmet made just to order, he'll take the Christmas spirit every place. His eight reindeer will travel by jet. They'll go farther than they've ever gone yet with the space-age Santa, space-age Santa Claus. Trees all over Mars. He'll take the dark clouds out of the air and hang up fluffs of angel hair. He'll start a gift shop on the moon, set the moon for coming Christmas tunes. He'll stir up eggnog in the Milky Way to fill the dippers for the holiday. Space kids. Gemini twins will whirl with joy when he makes the swan a wind-up toy. He'll show them how to add to all the fun and make it orbit round and round the sun. Oh, Santa Claus has a rocket sleigh getting ready to zoom away on his first trip into space. In his pressurized suit with the fur along the border and a long white bearded helmet made just to order, he'll take the Christmas spirit every place. His eight reindeer will travel by jet. They'll go farther than they've ever gone yet with a space-age Santa. Space-age Santa Claus.
Hello, below there. Hello, hello. Whoa, whoa, Dasher. Whoa, Dancer. Whoa, Prancer and Vixen. Whoa, Comet. Whoa, Cupid! Whoa, Thunder and Lightning! Come, children, get in my sleigh, and in fancy, take a trip with me over mountains, valleys, and housetops to distribute our toys. Now we're off! Get up! Oh, look, below, a calf! And there's a pig! Look out! Here is a city! Hi! We've knocked down a chimney. Here comes a river. See the steamboat. Oh, look! The motor car! Oh, we beat it! We beat it! Whoa! Whoa! Hush! Children, here we are at our destination. Now down the chimney we'll go. This is Mama and Papa's room. Next is the boy. For this boy, candy and a drum. And to this one, a plum pudding and a big top that hums. In this room are the girls. A violin for Mary. And a piano for Pearl. Now we will go to the church next door, where the Christmas tree reaches from the ceiling to the floor. A little bird here, and a little bird there. And Humpty Dumpty I will place on this chair. This lamb for little Bo Peep.
Meh, meh.
And a Poll Parrot for the little boy who lives in the garret. This bugle for a nice boy scout. A ratchet. A tin whistle. And a silver bell. For little Johnny Stout, who pulled Pussy out of the well.
Meow, brr, meow, 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 brr.
This pop gun for the farmer boy to shoot the naughty sparrow who killed poor Cock Robin with his bow and arrow. This little dog for Tommy Tinker. Goodbye, dear children. I hope I've pleased you, each and every one. And with my toys, I wish you plenty of fun. A happy Christmas to all, and to all, good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Hi, kids. You're about to hear a Christmas story that's never been told before. It happened, oh, not too many years ago, along about when your parents were children like you. It was shivery cold and blustery at the North Pole that night, years ago. It was the night before Christmas Eve. Santa Claus was in his bed, all covered up. With him was Robbie, his chief elf. Let's pretend we were there.
Oh, me, oh, my. This is the worst cold I've ever had in my life, Robbie. Excuse me.
God bless you, Santa. Sure, and I wish there was something I could do. But don't forget, I warned you not to go swimming with the polar bears. I swear, Santa, sometimes you act just like a little boy.
Oh, I know I should have known better, but I did promise the bears I'd take part in their winter carnival. But please don't give me a lecture now, Robbie. We've got a big problem. Excuse me.
Bless you, Santa.
Thank you, Robbie. But the children, Robbie, how can I go out tomorrow night and deliver their toys with a cold like this?
Well, Santa, I guess it's up to me, as your chief elf, to find a way to get those toys delivered. And I will, too, for my name isn't Robert Edward Michael Callahan.
Yes, Robbie, I know. I'll never get over what a strange name you have for an elf, or the funny way you talk.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Santa. Have I ever said anything about your name? I mean, after all, Santa Claus? And as for the way I talk, well, I am a leprechaun, you know.
All right, Robbie. I'm sorry. It's this cold. It's got me so grouchy. Why, I don't even know if I can... Ho, 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 ho,
Oh, there, Santa, it's all right. You just take your medicine and get a good night's sleep. Robbie will think of something. You'll see.
Oh, I hope so, Robbie. I hope so. Good night.
Good night, Santa. And don't worry. Santa, Santa. Get up and get dressed. It's Christmas Eve. I've done it. Your troubles are over. The kids will get their toys after all. Santa, look what I've got for you.
But, Robbie, that's only a blanket. How is a blanket gonna keep me warm flying through the sky in that cold sleigh?
Aha, I'll tell you how. You'll keep warm because this is an electric blanket.
An electric blanket? What is an electric blanket?
Well, it's me own invention, Santa. You see this little cord? You simply plug it into the electricity like this, and little wires inside heat up the whole blanket. We'll wrap you in it, and you'll be snug and warm during your whole trip tonight.
Well, gosh, Robbie, it sounds like it might work. Oh, but I don't have any electricity in my sleigh. How will...
Tut, Santa, you've got that all figured out. As you're making your stops, you can borrow some electricity. Warm up your blanket, and then deliver more toys. When the blanket cools off, borrow some more electricity and keep going. I know the folks will let you plug into their electricity and borrow a little, considering what you're doing for their kids and all.
Well, I'll be. Robbie, you've saved the day. Christmas Day, that is. The children will get their toys after all, and... Oh, no, Robbie, I just thought of something. The people in the cities have lots of electricity for my blanket. But what about the people in the country? Hardly any of them have electricity. How will I warm up my blanket? I'll freeze. How will I deliver toys to the children in the country?
Quick now, kids. Play the other side of the record and find out what happened. Now you'll remember that Santa has a bad cold, but with Robbie's miraculous invention, an electric blanket, it looks like the toys will get delivered on time, in the cities at least. But what about the country, where there's hardly any electricity for Santa's blanket? Let's listen.
How will you deliver toys to the kids in the country? I'm way ahead of you, Santa. I thought about that, and it's all taken care of. You'll use an extension cord.
An extension cord? But, Robbie, where would we get one that long, and where would we plug it in? We'd need an awful lot of electricity.
We've got the cord all made, Santa. The elf stayed up all night making it. And as for electricity, why, we simply plug it in to the northern lights. Now, here's what you'll do. You can't have that cord trailing behind you in the cities. You'd have it all tangled up in the rose bushes and the fire hydrants and all. So you'll go to the country first. Just fly your sleigh from house to house and string the cord along the way. When you're all done in the country, just unplug the extension cord from your blanket and start borrowing electricity from the city people.
It sounds great, Robbie, but what will I do with all that cord? I can't leave it strung up throughout the countryside. Why, I'd be a flying litter bug.
Calm yourself, Santa. I've saved the best part for last. Santa, you are going to leave the cord there.
Leave it there? But...
Yes, leave it there. Santa, tonight you're going to give the people in the country the best Christmas present they'll ever get. You're going to give them something they need. Something that will light their homes and milk their cows and pump their water and maybe someday heat their homes. And who knows how many other important jobs. Santa, you're going to give the people in the country electricity.
Why, Robbie, you're a genius. You've invented a wonderful blanket, made the longest extension cord in the world, and best of all, you're turning on the lights in the country.
Think nothing of it, Santa. It's me job. Say, look at the clock. It's time for you to be leaving. Hurry now, finish with those buttons. There, now we wrap the electric blanket around you. There we go.
Oh, Robbie, it feels so wonderful, so warm. And say, what's this little ring hanging down here?
Oh, just a finishing touch. Your voice is pretty bad from your cold, so I invented this little gadget. In case you couldn't ho, ho, ho. All you do is pull the ring, and a recording says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Robbie, you're the best elf a Santa could ever hope for.
Well, the best Irish elf, maybe. Now hurry, Santa. The sleigh is loaded and the extension cord's all ready. On with you now, hurry. Goodbye, Santa. Have a good trip. And Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho.
Well, what do you know? It works. Maybe we can use the idea someday to make talking dolls.
Well, kids, that's the story. Hope you enjoyed it. Of course, we know, don't we, that it's just a fairy tale. We know that electricity came to the country because people like your grandparents got together and formed REMC, Rural Electric Membership Corporations, and worked hard to bring the miracle of electricity to the country.
Wait just a minute. What's this about a fairy tale? A fairy tale, is it? Kids, I'll have you know it happened just the way you heard it.
But.
Sure, and you sound like a motorboat. Yes, kids, it was meself that brought electricity to the country. Where do you think the letters REMC first came from? Well, I'll tell you. From the first letters in all me names, that's where. R for Robert, E for Edward, M for Michael, and C for Callahan. REMC. Fairy tale indeed. Why, I've a mind
now,
to...
Now, Robbie, let's not argue. It's the holiday season, and everyone should be happy.
Ah, sure, and you're right. Forgive me.
Of course. Why, I'll even let you end the record. Here, pull this little ring.
Why, thank you. It'll be a pleasure.
Ring, 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 R-E-M-C, ringing everyone a Merry Christmas. Ring, 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 R-E-M-C, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas Day. Candy and toys for girls and boys, a Christmas turkey for the family. Gifts galore all over the floor, underneath the Christmas tree. Ring, 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 R-E-M-C, ringing everyone a Merry Christmas. Christmas. Ring, 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 R-E-M-C. Wishing everyone a Merry